January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AUDIOBOOM. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AUDIOBOOM for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AUDIOBOOM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts right now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're such an idiot.
No, I'm not.
If go to the Twitch,
I'm a fun-loving dude.
And look at
I'm
this
giving
dork.
The Twitchers what they want.
Look at this dork with these. What are those?
I couldn't tell you. I was walking around realizing
Twitch.com,
that this entire
search.
Office right now is a ghost town.
Yeah, why is it so slow today? Is it a holiday? Because traffic was amazing today.
No one.
No
is
traffic.
Here.
Some people say they prefer taking vacation like after
the holidays. Really?
The holidays.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. There was no traffic getting to work today. Well,
I had a major accident to deal with.
And this guy over here with these sunglasses, twitch.com, search ESPN 97.5, yeah. And go look at what an idiot Joel looked like.
You can barely see without those glasses.
And now he's dancing, and I'm gonna be sick. I'm going to vomit
That's
a little.
Being isolated, sir.
I don't care.
Please,
I don't
please
care. If I
Twitch.
Cared, I wouldn't be wearing these glasses. But I was looking at the ghost town of people, particularly on the culture map side and all over the office, and I realized, of all people, Eric Sandler had these glasses along with a boa. On his desk.
Ooh.
And I thought, well, I'll leave the boa for him.
I feel like we don't have Eric Sandler on this show enough.
We've never had him on.
So even once would be more
that
than enough then?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've never had... Oh, no. He went on with the Blitz.
Yeah.
He?
So I found these glasses on Sandler's desk, and I thought, you know, well, let's get the Twitchers some fun for a couple of segments. So I'm going to wear them.
Okay.
See how long this lasts.
Laura yeah. Beavers walked by me. She goes, I thought you were doing virtual reality.
That's like, actually pretty
nope,
funny.
Just having some fun.
Virtual dork.
So Mike Leach
yep.
is at it again. He's leaving his gig at Washington State to get back down here
down
in the
south.
Southwest. And he is going to go to Mississippi State.
Okay.
Boy, the Egg Bowl is going to be fun this year. Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss and Mike Leach at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm.
Do you feel like he just said, you know what, I've done all I can do at Washington State?
The campus got
probably.
Funnier at Mississippi State.
Yeah, the campus got
Press
funnier.
Press conferences, yeah.
Do you, I wonder how Mike Leach translates to the SEC. He has a different style of football. His teams play a different style of football. You know, he made sense to me in the Pac-12 a little bit more. Now, maybe I'm wrong because the SEC has evolved. When you look at LSU and some of the offenses, even Bama opened it up. You know, A&M, there's a lot of offenses. It's more of an offensive league now, but Mike Leach doesn't seem like a fit to me for the SEC. But maybe that's the point. You bring in somebody different and you're ahead of the curve. I don't know. It's a kind of a weird move. I don't.
To me.
I guess it's a step up just from a recruiting perspective because you're in the South.
Yeah.
You're going to recruit football players from the South instead of being, you know, hidden up there in Washington.
I think that's the bigger thing. I think the fact that the Pac-12 has just lost not just a step. It's lost multiple steps.
Yeah, that's true.
UCLA's garbage, even when they thought they were going to be great with Chip Kelly. USC had one good year 2 years ago, and now they're back to being just average. And so even if you win your conference, there's something to be said about the fact that you might not even get into a college football playoff because of how bad your conference schedule's been. But be careful what you wish for, because now you're going from a soft-ass conference to the toughest conference in college football.
You're going from a soft-ass conference where you were 6-7, 3-6 in conference, to a much more difficult
monster.
Yeah, where you're playing in the same SEC West as LSU, Bama, Auburn, and even A&M for that matter.
So good luck when you think, well, from a recruiting standpoint, at least you're in the South now. Look what you're competing against.
I mean, from a brand standpoint, I think he's done okay. I feel like college football players or aspiring football players know who Mike Leach is.
Offensive college football players on offense want to play for Mike Leach.
If you're a quarterback, you want to go play for Mike Leach.
So there's a positive right there. Obviously, to me, him being the kind of he's coming off as this lighthearted coach, being in a very high-pressure situation, high-pressure conference like that, that's going to be really interesting to me. So I think from a recruiting standpoint, it's going to be hard, but I think he has enough of a brand to at least attract some players, and he's going to be coaching a lot more NFL ready players, and that's going to be interesting to see too. How does he handle more NFL ready players?
I think from a career perspective, I can't look at you with those stupid glasses on. From a career perspective, it makes more sense. You know, you're kind of, when you're Pac-12, you're West Coast, you're not seen as much by the rest of America. You know, this he's going to be seen more as a head coach. His program is going to get more light shed on it as him running it in the SEC at Mississippi State versus out West at Washington State. It's weird, though, because it's kind of a lateral move if you think about it.
Money's got to be a factor.
Money, yeah, I would think so because, I mean, you look at Mississippi State, it's 3-5 this year in conference, 6-7 overall. Same exact thing to Washington State. You got a ton of teams that you got to beat up that are way better than you year in and year out. I mean, this is what Mike Leach is. He traded the West Coast anonymity for the Southern exposure, it seems like.
Yeah,
otherwise, it's going to be the same results.
This was about, look, I'm not getting any younger, and the legacies that I've created in the past have been at small schools in which the legacy was more about my personality and my offense, but never getting to those bigger games, winning the bigger titles, to, okay, I'm going to thrust myself back into the SEC, although I think that he probably says, well, expectations aren't as high because they know with the competition that they have, it's going to be tough to win out, win that side, you know, win some things. But if he has a winning record, he's a hero. But I think that, like you said, it puts him back on the map. Probably financially, it puts him back into that kind of top 25 category that he wants to be in, that he feels like he deserves to be in. And then it puts him in a scenario where if he does win a couple of those big games every year, He's gonna be safe. They're gonna be pleased.
Yeah, once in a while you gotta, you know, win, like you said, win the Egg Bowl every once in a while and you're in good shape.
Yeah, and you know, maybe upset one team, you know,
so this is what losing the Cheez-It Bowl gets you.
I guess.
A move to the SEC.
Look, the Mississippi State needed something. They needed a change. Like whatever they were doing obviously wasn't working against the other SEC teams. Maybe you bring in a guy like Mike Leach and maybe he does, you know, the unexpected. You know, look, LSU didn't necessarily, not everybody expected Ed Orgeron to do that. LSU wanted Tom Herman as a head coach, and then they end up getting Ed Orgeron, and look what Orgeron ended up doing. Maybe that's what happens with Mike Leach. He's going to have to do the unexpected. He's going to have to change things up if he wants anything to change at Mississippi State. Like, he has to completely
Only difference, I think, up. Between Ed Orgeron and Mike Leach is we know what Mike Leach is. Like, we've seen him, you know, 9 years at Tech, mm-hmm. 7 years at Washington State, we kind of know what he is as a head coach. Ed Orgeron was a little bit different. He was kind of a wild card. You know, he was an interim, and then, well, he's a hometown guy, and he's proven
himself. I mean, they basically
worthy.
Got him because Tom Herman didn't sign with that. I mean, that's basically why they got Ed Orgeron, but no one expected that.
I mean, a couple of years ago, they had a couple good recruiting classes. I don't know how legal it was that they got the guys that they got.
Who, Mississippi State?
Yeah, and they had Montez Sweat. They had what Robert, I can't even say his last name, but Kimdichi or whatever, that, you know, was a first round pick that failed miserably with Arizona. Then he was picked up and cut by the Dolphins. Said he was out of shape, but he was
Dan Mullen won at Mississippi State. So it can be done. And I think Mike Leach can recruit, but I just don't know.
But it hasn't been done in a while over at Mississippi State.
Dan Mullen was he was decent. Yeah. In a buzzsaw of a schedule every year.
He's without a doubt a respected college football coach. I don't think everybody hated Dan Mullen. But Mississippi State hasn't really had the success that I guess they feel that they should have, considering they're an SEC team. You know?
Yeah. Look, they lost under Mullen. Was it 2014? Lost the Orange Bowl. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to the Orange Bowl in that conference doing that. So it can be done. It's just really difficult.
Yeah, I think
Mike Leach is you don't make a move like a Mike Leach thinking that you're going to win the SEC. I just don't believe that.
I think you have to be realistic, right?
Yeah.
So I think this was more about,
you think this is competitive?
SEC's got a lot of money. Their TV deal is massive. The universities are making money hand over fist on the football. So if they're willing to pay, this is my chance before my time has passed me by to get a big-time deal with not a lot of extra pressure. Because a big-time deal, if this was A&M or Alabama or LSU, when you mention Orgeron, then you're talking about the expectations that come with the contract. When he's coming into a situation like Mississippi State, if you go 500 and you get to a bowl game, And like you said, and occasionally you get to a bigger bowl game, hey, you're doing your part, so you can relax a little bit. There's not that extra added pressure, and you're getting paid.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a move that, with all the options you could go with, it just seems like Mississippi State is saying, well, we got somebody competent. We're going to challenge LSU and Alabama.
What's a better option for him when you get SEC coaching money? And you knew they had to throw some money because he already had a gig. So you knew in order to get him away from Washington State, you were going to have to pay.
Yeah.
So he got paid. He's going to get exposure.
Talking about from a Mississippi State perspective. I get why Mike Leach did it, but Mississippi State, this doesn't, if I'm an alumnus of Mississippi State, this doesn't scream to me we're going to compete for an SEC title.
Well, you guys mentioned Mullen too. The other thing you got to be careful about is it's a stepping stone program.
Yeah.
Because you take that job, and if you do fairly decent in the SEC with as tough as that schedule is, someone's going to come knocking on your door, like a Florida.
So
like
you think Leach does this because just to try to move up in the SEC later?
I think Leach did this strictly for financial reasons.
Yeah.
And because the expectations.
Kind of surprised if he's made a move. It just popped into my head, but it kind of surprises me I wonder if he had discussions with Baylor.
That's a good question.
You know?
I wonder if Baylor even. First of all, I don't think Baylor felt like at the end of the day. I think they bought to what Matt Rhule was selling. I think they figured Rhule's going to listen to the NFL, but at the end of the day, he's probably still going to be their football coach.
Yeah,
and maybe they took that too literally and didn't do enough research.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think that anybody expected Mike Leach was a guy that was going to be available.
Yeah, but then again, if you're Baylor, you probably don't do that because if you hire Mike Leach. That's not a commitment to winning. That's a commitment to being competitive. I believe that.
Plus, I'm not sure all of his antics and everything like that would go over that well.
I think that would be fine. I mean, he's, you know, Big 12 guy. He knows what he's doing. They know what they're getting. But I don't think programs hire Mike Leach thinking we're going to win a title. You think we're going to be competent and we're going to hang in there.
We're going to be excited because offensively, we're going to be wide open offense.
I'm not trying to make this about the Aggies, but the Aggies go out and got Jimbo Fisher thinking we're going to win the SEC. This is why we made this move. We're serious about trying to. Now, it doesn't work.
Jimbo Fisher more than that. They said we're going to compete for a national title.
But teams don't get Mike Leach saying we're going to win the SEC and win a national title. It's just we're going to hang in there and be competent. I just feel like that's what it is. And maybe that's why if Baylor didn't talk to him, maybe that's why, because they're more serious than just being competent.
Okay. There you go. All right, we'll continue to roll on a little college football coaching news right there for you, and lots more to get to. If you want to join the program, 713-780-3776. HR&P Listener Line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour two, 3 hour show, covering a lot of topics, including a college football coaching change at Mississippi State and now an availability at Washington State.
Yeah, Aggie Joe said it reminds him of the Sumlin hire at A&M. I agree with that.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
Right,
although I think there were higher expectations for Sumlin than there would be. Higher expectations for Sumlin at A&M than there would be from Mike Leach at Mississippi State.
Oh, I agree. Because coming off what Sumlin was able to do at U of H,
yeah,
just like what Tom Herman was able to do at U of H, now the expectation is you've done it at every level. You've been this guy kind of a coach. You're an up-and-comer. So now the next gig that you take, you're just going to do it at a higher level of program, but you're going to continue that meteoric rise through the coaching ranks, and it hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sumlin just got his... Again, you can't fault the guy for taking the opportunity.
No.
Because you don't know how many times or any time that a coach that's smaller on a smaller scale trying to make it big, you're only going to have so many opportunities in your coaching career. The chance to get to a big-time program like A&M, and you take your shot. If you do it, great. And if you don't, guess what? You got paid fantastically.
You're set.
And you gave it a go. So in Mike Leach's case, been there, done that, been in, had a lot of success, built up a reputation, good, bad, and otherwise.
I was going to say, both good and bad.
Right.
You know,
stay out of people, his phone. Stay out of his phone closet.
I was gonna say, making people stay in the shed
or whatever it was. Yeah.
Somebody said, shout out to the number one show in Houston with Barry Laminack, Nick, and Jim Adler, who helped me with my car accident. Go to the Twitch and look at Joel's glasses. You guys,
there's a lot of people that want me to do Jim Adler for this, Jim Adler for that. I want Jim Adler to be a sponsor of the show. Can you guys, can you suspects make that happen?
Right.
Let's just get his phone number and start pelting him with the fact that he needs to sponsor the suspect.
Hey, Barry, is your burger available at every Big City Wings? I live by the Rayford location. Want to try it? Yeah, in fact, I went and had it last night at the Rayford location. So it's there, and it's delicious, and you should go try it. They brought it back. You weren't here yesterday, but...
I wasn't?
No,
oh, that's right. I was transitioning.
Sam messaged me and said that they brought it back, so I'm excited about
D-bag.
That. Also, people want to know how much are tickets to the comedy show tonight at the Secret Group? What time does the show start? And is it in one of the side rooms? I don't know what room it's in, but I'll tell you, it's $12. You get two beers plus a pint glass.
Isn't it in
so
the
it's
storm
a good deal?
That is a good deal.
Yeah, it's a real good deal, and it's a fun show. It's always a fun show. Always sells out. So get there. What'd you say?
It's not in the room. It's in a storm shed, isn't it?
No, it's not in a storm shed. I don't know where they do it.
Maybe it's in the basement.
I haven't done this show in a really long time, so I don't know. But it's $12. Come by.
Did you get the traffic report
yet? Have
some fun.
No. I don't need the traffic report.
3 o'clock hour, traffic and weather together as we give Barry the forecast for the weekend and the road conditions from Pflugerville. Are you kidding me?
You're the one that brought up the weather, Joseph. Not me.
Next thing you're going to want to know about construction in Kuntz.
No, I don't want to know about your Kuntz.
You want to know about the construction in Kuntz?
I don't need to know anything about your Kuntz. Okay, we'll just leave
the
it.
Cement mixers coming to Kuntz.
No,
no,
stop it.
All right. So lots of other things to get to. Again, we got Texans and Chiefs coming up this weekend. That's a good one. So we'll have a lot more tomorrow, including I believe Sarah Barshop again to preview that game. ESPN's beat writer. So we'll get her in on the action that everybody's waiting for on Sunday. But before we get to that, there's lots of other things. One thing we didn't get to from the NBA last night that I do want to get to, and there's a couple of stories in the NBA because we also got to get to this whole thing about, and I don't know if you heard this or not, John Beilein was a hell of a coach at Michigan.
Yep, I heard about this.
And here's something that I didn't know. John Beilein already has more wins for the Cavaliers than they had all of last season. And he's been very, very good on the college level when we talk about coaching. But now in the NBA level, there was an incident last week where Kevin Love lost it because he had a mismatch and he couldn't get the ball out of his young point guard's hands and he was demonstrative on the court and then he was critical of the whole situation.
Isn't that where he said he regretted acting like a 13-year-old girl?
After the fact, 2 days later, he then said he regretted it. I did not realize until John Beilein made a comment that it brings up a lot of issues. He was at practice. They were doing a video session with all of his players.
Mm-hmm.
And they were evidently there was things on tape where they were playing better. And he made the comment that they are no longer playing like thugs, which evidently rubbed some of his players the wrong way. It then got to the media. It then started to get some steam, and it started to be a bigger story to where he then came back to the media to address this, which was done in private, which was not meant for the media, but then made matters worse by saying, oh, I misspoke. Did I really say that? Because what I really meant to say was slugs. And then proceeded to call players individually apologize.
Pretty bad damage control. To say that you meant to say slugs and not thugs is just not true.
It sounds like a bad explanation. Even if it's true,
it would be like you guys are playing like sluts. I'm sorry. I meant to say slugs. That's a lot closer than thugs and slugs. Like, bro, you know what
like,
you meant.
If you're playing like Sluts, does everybody get into the hole? I'm just asking a question from offensive perspective. Joel,
everyone gets to the hole.
But here's the thing. I've always thought
he's... I don't believe him. Do you believe him? I don't believe
him. First of all, I don't think for a minute that he meant to say Sluts.
No, I don't believe him.
But I also have an issue with there is no off-the-record team time. There's and you and I have talked about this ad nauseum. If you think that locker rooms in any professional sports team, in any professional sports league, are PC and HR friendly, you're out of your mind. People say things. Coaches say things, player-to-player things, player-to-coach things, coach-to-player things. It's all just, it happens. But the fact that he said this in a film session and it made it to the media and then was put out there in like mass marketing or mass media, ESPN and otherwise, and then he addresses it, and then he addresses it poorly. That's on him. That's on their PR staff. Yeah. That shouldn't have been done. For everything that I've heard, he is a very reputable guy, a really good coach, and a really good college coach. I think where he's made a lot of missteps on just this one thing, but one of the first things is he's got to realize in NBA basketball circles, when you're it's not college anymore. And you're on your own, and if you think that there's this loyalty thing and that they owe you anything and they're not going to sell you out if they don't like you because they feel like they're getting wronged, especially guys that think they should be playing and they're not, well, you better go back to college because these guys, for the most part, make more money than you.
This was his quote.
Okay.
It was something I have to learn from. Just enunciate better. Just be clearer with what my words are. Okay. Enunciating is not the same thing, nope. John. Enunciating is you chose the wrong word and you said what you meant.
No question.
And somebody texted the show, and I don't know. I don't know who this is or what the texter is, but it said thug is white people's new N word. And you get the sense that it's not to that level, but that this word is becoming very polarizing.
Phil Jackson started with posse.
Yeah, but you have to know that's one of those words now that's just sensitive. Yeah.
Obviously, he said it in a way that was not. I guarantee you, and I'm not saying you should, but if they liked him enough, if he was cool enough with the players enough, and he said it in a way that they didn't feel like it was derogatory, I guarantee you they wouldn't be upset.
It wouldn't have been a big deal.
So the fact that you're saying it that way, and it totally sounds like he's making up excuses, he better hope that the players he apologized to don't feel the same way about his apology and the fact that he's using that as an excuse. Because I promise you, right now they're saying, oh, they reacted well to his apology. Everybody's in good spirits. We'll see down the line if they're really in good spirits with him, because if they're not, he will be gone. It's just that simple.
And that's the thing. That's where I was getting at, okay? So from at least the standpoint that it's gotten this much run, means there's at least one player in that locker room that knows he's now teetering. And if he's that player that's been, in his own mind, screwed over, this ain't over with. It's going to continue, and things are going to continue to leak out.
So Larry Nance Jr. had a comment.
Okay.
And he said he made a mistake. We all make them, but he apologized, owned up to it. And at this point, that's all we can ask him to do. We all heard it. We were all there. But at the same time, I don't think that any player on the team that believes there was malintent behind it. Mm-hmm. So, but I just wonder, like,
my question is, does he really feel that way, or is he just giving
right.
that quote?
That's the PR, my question. Is that a PR response for sure. Nance to give? But you bring up a really interesting point. How did this get leaked?
Right.
This should have all been internal.
And I'm telling you, there's at least one player in that locker room that it feels like he's been wronged, and he's not playing when he should be. And the fact that that's probably how it got out, and the fact that not only did it get out, but it got legs, and now people are paying attention, and now people are questioning his abilities.
Maybe it was Kevin Love.
He may not make it till the end of the year. And then when you kind of kick the tires a little bit and talk to people, something I wasn't aware of. Because like I said, here's a guy that's already got more wins than the team had all of last season. But they said he's not very well liked because he rubs people the wrong way because he kind of has that college coaching mentality of you owe me. I don't owe you.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you do something like this and it's like, you know what?
Wouldn't it be funny if Kevin Love was the guy that did it?
It wouldn't surprise me.
The white guy on the team.
Here's the other thing you got to consider.
He said something bad. I want the ball down low.
You got a team of young kids that are trying to make the team better,
mm-hmm.
but you still got two guys that played with LeBron that know what winning's like, that aren't mm-hmm. winning and are not happy, and that's Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another name to throw into the mix. So I wanted to get that out there. If you guys have opinions on that, let us know. But we're at the halfway point of the show, which means we still got 90 minutes to go, and we'll be back with that second half in just a few minutes. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday in the big city. Everything is pretty for another day before the weather gets...
I'm glad you took those stupid glasses off.
Nasty.
Don't put them on. It's over, Joel. Let it go. God, you're such a dork. Where, those are like from the 80s or something, right?
I feel like...
Randy Savage, right?
Oh, that's a good call.
Really good call.
The Macho Man.
Really good call.
That's what they look like.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, really. That's
a great call. And before that, I would say that Max Sandler stole them off of Elton John's piano.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yep. They look like Elton John.
Elton John would wear something like these.
I would agree with that.
Back in the day.
That's about right.
The other basketball story I wanted to get to. Interesting last night. The Pacers in the Heat. Pacers, a good team, getting better, expecting Oladipo back. Heat, surprise team in the NBA, playing great basketball. Jimmy Butler gets into it with T.J. Warren. And obviously we know NBA players don't really want to fight.
No.
But they get tangled up. They start exchanging words. Jimmy Butler has some choice words for T.J. Warren. T.J. Warren already had one T. So Jimmy Butler kept explaining, I'm tough. I'm tough. I'm tough. All right, so the next time down the court, they mix it up again. And they call an offensive foul on Butler, and Warren goes behind his head and starts clapping, shows him up, second tee, he's gone. Butler starts blowing him kisses. T.J. Warren turns, starts flipping him off and telling him, I'll meet you in the back and we can fight.
Oh.
And you think, okay, NBA, it's over, right? Post game, they interview Jimmy Butler, and normally, again, guys will say, it's over now. We're not going to get into it anymore. He knows what happened or whatever it is, but they won't ever get into specifics. Au contraire, Jimmy Butler went off last night on T.J. Warren and then circled the calendar on the schedule.
Several looks at this here. Watch Warren's hands. Grabbed him by the left arm and spun him around, held him.
Butler is still very good. Warren.
Well, this is obviously the play-by-play of what happened.
You wanted the post?
Yeah.
Okay, let me find the post. I thought you were referring to the play-by-play.
These were just the plays. We'll get the actual comments from Jimmy Butler because, I mean, he went off. He went off. He basically challenged him. He told him he was tougher than he was, and you'll hear the whole soundbite. But the very end of it, which is the fantastic part, is after he said all of that while he was either on the bus or on his way home or whatever on Instagram and Twitter, he first posted a picture of the schedule with a big red circle around the next time the Pacers playing the Heat. And then basically had one more tweet in which he just basically said, you're soft. You can't fight. If you want to, I'm here for you. I'm waiting.
Ooh.
And I'm looking forward to now whatever that next date is between the Heat and the Pacers.
Right?
Good and times. I'm kind of with Nick, too. I think Jimmy Butler, and again, we brought it up earlier in the show. Jimmy Butler's a really good player. And he's been a great, been a positive victim of circumstance where his contract's come up a couple times, where he's gotten max money. But overall, if you're going to tell me that he's on the same level as the top superstars in this league, mm-mm. I'm not going to say he is.
No, I would agree. I don't think he is.
Yeah.
But I do like the old fake tough guy stuff.
Well, that's Kevin Durant, Dwight Howard all over again, right?
It's like, and then nothing's going to happen. Now, you know, they're not real G's like the Rockets. They're going to take back tunnels to locker rooms.
Well, how about when...
Those are real G's.
I've mentioned to you some of the guys that are no longer in the league. The Zach Randolphs and guys like that that would have made sure that not only... Even if they didn't fight you, well, someone on their crew would.
Yep.
Remember, what was it? When Carmelo Anthony went all the way to the buses and they were ready to square off. Kendrick Perkins has been known to square off anytime, any place, from the ramp to the parking garage. But here's Butler's comments last night after the game on TJ Warren.
To me, I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But like I said, I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations. There's some that you just don't say as a man. And, I mean, he got to see me the next time because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful. And it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So, you know, he talking about, oh, we're going to fight this, that. It is what it is to me.
The kiss.
He's soft. He's not even in my league, like nowhere near me. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. He's like, no, put somebody else on me because I'm a tad every time. He's trash.
So, he went after him. I like it.
I love that. That's right. Normally, like I said, after the game, they run from it. Yeah. They don't want to address it. They don't want to talk about it. And instead, Jimmy Butler was like, no, man, guess what? I know the next time we play y'all.
And it's the stupidest thing to say we want to fight in the NBA because that's the perfect reaction. Like, all right, you're the one who said you wanted to fight. All right, let's see if you're going to follow through now. Now he has to react. Now TJ is the one that has to prove that he's willing to fight.
Right.
Now if it was Trevor Ariza.
So, there's another one.
He might walk over to your locker room and just put you in your throat.
That's what I'm saying. Real but, G's like
Tony
Rockets.
Allen, Zach Randolph, Trevor Ariza.
Yep.
Dudes you don't F with. Just don't do it.
They'll find you in the back tunnels, baby. You don't want that. You don't want that smoke.
You want no part of it.
Nope.
So I'm anxious to see what happens. And I'm assuming the league's going to jump in before. And whether it's publicly
they'll be
there's going to be a letter
the
in their lockers
yeah.
that say, don't even think about it, because if you do.
They'll be warned before their next game.
Which sucks.
And nothing's going to happen.
That sucks.
There might be a little bodying going on the floor, but nothing major is going to happen. You know how this goes.
But
I've
seen
this
to.
A million times.
I do. I want to be the John Granato. I want to stir it up.
Okay.
I, as long as it doesn't involve me, I want to see it happen.
You want to see the fights?
Yeah.
Hey, at some point, not this segment because we're going to run out of time, but did you know that they leaked the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo lineup?
I had heard that. I heard they have El a
Jefe
new wrinkle
tagged
to
us. Yeah, El Jefe tagged us on a tweet, a picture of it, but I've got the full lineup and I want to, we'll go over it, I guess, next segment because I'm not really impressed.
So here's what?
That's a fantastic lineup.
Yeah.
First of all, when has a concert at the rodeo been fantastic?
Yeah.
The lineup. We're talking specifically
the lineup. It's like you're watching it at a ball game on the scoreboard. You're not actually watching a concert.
Yeah, this doesn't do it for me.
I mean, Kirsten is the one who told me about the tweet earlier this morning, and that's why I added it on the rundown. I looked at that. If that's really the lineup.
Oh, did we have it on the rundown? My bad. I didn't even know it was on there.
I think that's. But speaking of the lineup. Just the lineup. That's you didn't like him?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I guess we can talk about that next thing.
So here's the other wrinkle in this whole thing is now the rodeo is trying to be more hip and current and cool. So they're going to announce all of the lineup with the exception of the Friday night shows. Those Friday night
shows
are going to be later. No, not necessarily all of them. Mm. But they're going to be bigger names for the Friday nights, and they're going to be released later than the rest of the schedule comes out for anticipation and suspense.
So on 3-6, it says, to be announced, hip-hop R&B, Friday night, February 4th. Well, I don't know why it says February 4th. And then it says, for 3-13, to be announced, hip-hop and pop star on Black Heritage Day. And then to be announced on 3-20, EDM Day. So they're doing something like that. I don't know what the hell it is, but... Yeah, you're right. Every Friday they don't have an announcement yet. So
yeah,
hip hop and R&B, hip hop and pop, and then EDM for the three Friday shows. Okay. That's kind of weird. But the rest of this lineup, yeah, garbage. We'll do the whole thing on the other side.
So all right, and
we'll
by the
vote,
yeah,
I haven't heard of some of these people. I don't know who some of these people are.
That's probably why. But
yeah,
it's a pretty good lineup, though. I feel like
we'll talk about it.
Not on there.
Oh.
Yeah, that surprised me.
That would have been a perfect homecoming,
but,
right?
But she might be one of those TBAs.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I would think. Hip-hop and R&B night, Lizzo,
don't
I can see that.
They always hack up Black Heritage Night?
What do you mean?
In the past, they've been people
like
have been
color
very
me bad or something?
But yeah, they like don't get it right. They go Black Heritage, and then it's the furthest thing from Black Heritage.
I don't know. I would have to go back and look and see
I'm
who was
I'm trying
it?
To remember Let's some see. Of the recent ones that people were hammering on, but they were like, Why do they bring Kool and the Gang back every year for Black Heritage Night? They're like, you got to move on from that. So
I'm gonna look it up.
Okay. We'll continue to roll on. It's hour two, 3 hour show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You keep it right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for quite a while because I made the switch to Infuse Energy a little over 3 years ago, and I just re-upped with them. And why wouldn't I? Because they've done everything that they said they were going to do. They've lowered my bills. They've been more competitive and with better rates than the other companies that I previously did business with. And they do customer service like nobody's business, so much so that they have a 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best you can get. And you get it from Infuse. Josh Pesikoff and his staff doing fantastic work. So much so, and they do such great work sponsoring us that they mention, if you mention ESPN 97.5, when you make your first contact with Infuse Energy, $25 bill credit off your first bill. Call them 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or check infuseenergy.com. We get text messages and tweets all the time sent to me that say, I made the switch to Infuse. I could not be happier. Thanks for the recommendation. P. Randizzle and others of our loyal listeners, we got a couple texts the other day. You got to believe me when I tell you, they are so good at doing business that they're honest with you 100% of the time. That means that in the rare occasions there's another company out there that can beat their rates, they're going to tell you who it is, and they're going to encourage you to go check them out. Because if you don't go with them this time, at least you'll come back and consider Infuse in the future, because they're honest and they're trustworthy, and that's so important in business. Simply put, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Check them out. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, looky here. Our local rodeo expert's going to break it down.
You talking about me?
Yeah, you said you're going to have all the info on all the great concerts coming up at Rodeo Houston.
I looked up last year's Black Heritage Day performer.
Yep.
Cardi B.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. That's not going cool. That's not Cool in the Gang.
No, I think years past, though, it wasn't as good.
I could see that. All right, so here's the leaked lineup for Rodeo Houston 2020. March 3rd, Midland.
Okay. Is that near Odessa?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
March 4th, Willie Nelson, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
That's a big if.
It's a good get if he, you said, if he does the show.
He's probably the best name on this list.
Mm.
March 5th, Becky G. No idea. Probably just some white girl
that shops at Abercrombie.
No idea.
She has good songs. She's
Becky G.
Yeah.
What is her genre, Nick?
She's more of a popish, but she does a lot of hip. She does a lot of songs with hip hop artists. She does everything. I forgot the name of her songs. I think one I could remember is called Shower, if I'm not mistaken. It could be a different artist, but I don't know exactly the name. But
would I recognize a Becky G song?
I think
if you
would.
It?
I really genuinely think you would.
Play one. See if I recognize. Okay. I feel like Becky G is just some chick that you would run into at the mall that has Juicy on her sweatpants or something.
Do you know who JoJo is?
Yes.
Because my daughter's a big JoJo fan. I guess she made the crossover from Kitty Pop to some pop.
JoJo.
But Taylor listens to
not
JoJo.
Not who I was thinking of. No, not JoJo. I don't know who JoJo is.
Because otherwise I was going to say, and JoJo was like at Smart Financial, and I was like, I have no idea. Lisa, because you should take her to see, I don't know who that is.
So Becky G on March 5th. March 6th, TBA. That'll be one of the hip-hop R&B nights. March 7th, Maren Morris. No idea who that is.
I've heard the name.
Yeah. March 8th, probably the second best name on this list, Ramon Ayala. That's big. I'm married to a Mexican, so that's big.
This is her song called Good At It.
Or Shower.
This is Becky G.
I mean, I know this song. You may not know this song.
I don't think I've heard
it. And I wouldn't have been able to tell you that the name of the song was Good At It until I played it, but I know the song. But you a lot of people know her. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Ramon Ayala, March 8th. That's a good get. Chris Young, March 9th. No idea who Chris Young is.
Relief pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Or a starter?
Former Padre. Okay.
Yeah.
March 10th, NCT 127. That just sounds like sounds like a public school out in the on the East Coast.
I agree.
I have no idea what the hell NCT 127 is. What that sounds like a vaccine you have to get before you can travel abroad. Like, you got to make sure you have your NCT 127.
It sounds like a public school in New York.
Yeah, I don't get that. Kane Brown on March 11th.
Very, very popular guy.
No idea what Kane Brown is.
I assume country
Good
singer.
As You, Heaven, Lost in the Middle of Nowhere. This guy, no idea. I listen to him all the time.
Okay. He country?
Yeah, he's country.
March 12th, Cody Johnson.
I think a lot of people know who Cody Johnson is.
No idea.
No idea.
Really, I've recognized so far two names. Willie Nelson and Ramon Ayala.
That means I got one. no, Maren Morris. I remember.
March 13th, TBA. March 14th.
TBA can sing.
John Party.
Very good singer.
No idea.
No clue.
Very good country singer.
Okay, here's one I recognize. Don't like him, though. March 15th, Dierks Bentley. Okay.
He comes like every year, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Dierks Bentley comes to the rodeo every year.
I don't know.
I like Party, though. Somewhere in Houston. He's Brooke Bentley, the former sideline reporter of the Texans.
I know who Brooke Bentley is. I know.
Okay. Really?
I think uncle.
Or did you just make that up?
No, it's actually a fact.
I feel like you made that
That's a fact.
Okay. March 16th, Keith Urban. I know who Keith Urban is.
Married to...
Yeah. He's the Australian country guy. That's all I know.
Married to Nicole Kidman.
I couldn't tell you a song he sings, but he's the Australian country guy, right? Yeah. Okay. March 17th. Yay! Finally, somebody good. Gwen Stefani.
Okay.
I dig that. That's a good get.
It's a good get.
Yeah. March 18th, Khaled. Very I'm assuming that's DJ Khaled.
I would think no,
so.
It's not.
It's not?
Not.
What?
Young, Dumb, and Broke. That's what he's known for.
Yeah, okay, Young, Dumb, and Broke. Okay.
Yeah, he's not DJ Khaled at all.
Okay, so it is Khaled. Okay.
Chris Stapleton, another good name.
I know Young, Dumb, and Broke.
Yeah.
I know that one.
Yeah.
That's it.
You emulate it sometimes.
Well, you're old, Dumb.
Yeah, okay, fine. Thanks.
March 19th, Chris Stapleton. I've heard the name. I really don't know what he sings.
Chris Stapleton is amazing.
Didn't he win like America's Got Talent or The Voice or something?
Tennessee Whiskey.
Oh.
Come on,
bro. Is that
him?
Okay, that's
Come
a good
on,
one.
Bro.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right.
That's pretty good. March 20th, TBA. March 21st, Brad Paisley. Yawn. No one cares
big
about
name,
Brad
though.
Paisley.
That's a big name.
Yeah, Brad Paisley, Keith Urban, Dierks Bentley. They all look alike.
Okay, so out of the ones that you listed. Look alike.
And then the last one is Luke Bryan on March 22nd.
Here's the one. I recognize Willie Nelson, Becky G, Kane Brown. I recognize Gwen Stefani, Khaled, Chris Stapleton, Brad Paisley. Keith Urban. That's eight names I recognize. And you're saying it's a bad lineup.
Yeah, those aren't good names, though. Those aren't good names. Wow.
Did you put a little Fleming and Khaled there?
Yeah, I like to say Khaled.
Khaled. I just wondered. It sounded
like
Fleming.
The Middle Easterns.
It sounded Fleming.
It's Khaled, not Khaled.
I would
it's
say that
Khaled.
The Latin...
Khaled? Hello, Khaled. Hello, Khaled. By God, Khaled. Khaled, my friend.
Paisley I don't know why you're hating on this lineup. I
Paisley
like this lineup.
And Brian are like big-time names, right?
This is the most country-ass
right?
line. Which, oh, it is a rodeo.
Brad Paisley and Luke Bryan.
Those
are
big
names
in the country world at the very minimum.
Whatever. I don't... why?
Listen
Stefani,
to some more
listen,
Becky G.
Is Gwen
Becky
Stefani
G's hot
still
too.
Big? She's known more to be Blake Shelton's girlfriend
she's
and
hot,
a judge.
Though. I'll tell you what. Gwen Stefani could get it. Boy, she could get it.
Okay. Back in the day, I don't know if she still can.
Oh, she can still get it.
She can still get it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
I might be wrong. I'm not going to argue.
Last year, now compare that to last year's lineup. I'm going to read real fast through last year's lineup. You tell me which one you think would be better. Kacey Musgraves, Prince Royce, Brooks and Dunn, Luke Bryan, Cardi B, Turnpike, Troubadours, Panic at the Disco, Old Dominion, Camila Cabello, Luke Combs, Tim McGraw, Zedd, Kane Brown, Los Tigres del Norte, Zach Brown Band, Kings of Leon, Santana, Chris Stapleton, Cody Johnson, Brad Paisley, George Strait.
I think last year sounds like way better.
Way better. How do you not end the rodeo with George Strait?
And George Strait was like, wasn't he the closer every year?
You can't get George Strait every year, though.
Why?
They had.
You can't get him every year.
I think he decided to stop doing it. But every year, he was the closer.
How do you not have,
if I'm not mistaken.
How do you not have Beyonce?
Oh, that's money you don't have.
Well,
I don't think.
I bet you it's a Beyonce thing. Yes. And not only that, Cardi B, when she showed up, people said she sucked and I think she was sick or something.
I can see that. I could totally see that.
Here's the thing, too. If you're one of these
performers...
Beyonce ain't
going to let Houston down. If she did the rodeo, she's not going to let Houston down.
Right, but she can play that stadium all by herself and make a boatload more money. The only draw that I can see for these performers that do the rodeo is you get probably the same amount of money for about half the show because they're really on for like an hour after the rodeo, and yet they get paid top dollar, and it's like an easy in and out for one night. Yeah.
I mean... I certainly would do it.
Who are you?
Little Kane Brown right now.
Kane Brown.
Listen to Kane Brown. You'll like Kane Brown.
Is he a rapper?
He's a country singer.
Oh.
He's like a popish country singer.
He's like Lil Nas X?
No, not like that.
Oh.
At all.
Okay.
He's not really a rapper at all.
Oh, he's not?
He's more of a singer, yeah.
This is Kane Brown right here.
Yeah, this is an instrumental. I didn't want to play, though.
Why is there bad words in a Kane Brown song?
No, I just wanted to play the instrumental just because I didn't want. Sometimes when you have the lyrics, it's harder to hear the words.
We
want
to know before we pass a grade to him. We want to hear what he sounds like.
All right, you guys don't want the instrumental. I got it.
Listen to country music with an 808 in it. Sounds weird to me. It's just like it's so weird to hear country music with bass and an 808 and the snare and all that. This is terrible. No more. This sounds like a Valtrex commercial.
It's not.
I got nothing to hide. Just my pride. This fever blister won't let me down.
This song is with like an EDM guy named Marshmello. Are you familiar with Marshmello?
Oh, man, I love Marshmello.
Do you really?
He toured with S'mores, didn't he?
His real name on his driver's license is Marshall, though, right?
You guys are terrible.
We're so old.
So bad.
Marshmello.
Marshmello is huge.
Marshmello is huge.
Swear. He's huge.
There's a
dude named Marshmello that literally did videos, never revealed himself until late. Just literally was just always wrapped up in
his
little...
As he gets older, you know how like Prince changed his name? Marshmello eventually is going to be Fluff. He's just going to keep changing his name. This is so stupid.
I'm not fond of the song.
Oh my
either.
God. Yeah, no, this is as a good. If this is country?
Yeah.
That's not country.
It is.
This is not country.
Not all his music is like this. This is the song with Marshmello.
There's one. There are two.
When does Marshmello come in?
There are three names I would go see this year in the
Rodeo.
I'd go to Willie Nelson, Ramon Ayala, and Gwen Stefani, and that's it. And the rest of this is all garbage.
I'm assuming Marshmello's in the center.
Oh no! All right, fine. The lineup sucks.
It does.
Fine. It sucks.
Okay. Thank
Whatever.
You. I'm glad you agree, Nick.
Where is Marshmello in this?
He produces the music. He's an EDM guy. I told you. Get it together, sir.
Nope. Not worth getting together if this is the results. All right, two in the books, 1 hour to go, 60 minutes left of the show. We'll take you to the final hour next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. But I got one thing
right. You. Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.